Log Talk Radio.
Boys and girls, it is Gentleman Greg on the also with me today. It is Captain Clint right here on the Greg Squirrel Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Clint, how are you, my brother?
Man, I'm good. I got done with my show about 1 o'clock today, and that's it. Here I am.
Man, things are getting hopping up there at over there at XFI Live every Tuesday, every Friday, 12 noon, right here on Block Talk Radio. What's some of the good juicy tidbits you got for us today, Clint?
Well, you know, we talked to Frank Jones, who fought on the 29th, and he is having a couple of issues, some injuries that he's trying to work through. And then we talked to Eric Pearsant from The Pit. Eric fought for the 135 title. And did not succeed, but, you know, he's looking at coming, maybe dropping down to the 125 weight class, the flyweight, and fighting for that title on October 26th and facing DeMario Cade. So there's quite a bit going on. There's a lot in the works right now.
Yeah. Once again, we want to remind folks about that show. That is XFI9. Otherwise known as Extreme Night of Champions, that's coming up in October. You can go to XFI.com for ticket information. Are tickets on sale yet for that show, Clint? Or what
tickets
is
are not on sale as of yet, but they will be very, very shortly, and I will have the word out just as soon as possible.
Right, right, right. So what do you got as far as headlines today? You know my situation, where I'm at, so I haven't really been able to look at the headlines today.
I do. So, I know. How's your mom? Is she okay?
Well, mom is doing good. They finally got her moved up to her own room, so she is out of the ER. So they're getting her taken care of up here, so we're going to get her happy and healthy and get her back on her feet. So, once again, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been sending me their thoughts and prayers for my mom on the Facebook and everything. So, right now, everything's looking good, and we're just going to work on getting her better and, you know, just taking it one day at a time.
Well, I am glad to hear that. I've got a few things in the headlines. The Brooklyn Nets have officially acquired future Hall of Fame forwards Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, and reserve guard Jason Terry in a blockbuster trade with the Boston Celtics. The trio will be introduced by the Nets during a news conference Thursday at Barclays Center. So today the basketball gods smiled on the Nets, team owner said. For the Nets, with the arrival of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, we have achieved a great balance on our roster between veteran stars and young talents. This team will be dazzling to watch and tough to compete against. So, you know, here we go. We've got some future Hall of Famers from the Boston Celtics coming straight to. You know, this is kind of big. This would have been like if Larry Bird and Robert Parrish would have gone from the Celtics to the Nets. You know, this is a big deal.
Yeah. Well, then they're basically looking at a restart in Boston, because those three guys were pretty much the Boston Celtics. So definitely looking at a whole new makeover for Boston. You know that it's been coming with Doc Rivers leaving Boston, heading out to the sunshine, the happy city, as I call it.
Yeah.
So basically starting all over all the way around for Boston, and now that you got those three going to Jay-Z's boys, as I tongue in cheek call them.
Yeah.
So that's what we got going on there. What else you got for me?
Well, you know, there's a lot of speculation about who is going to replace Kane in the Money in the Bank contract match here at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. The Wyatt family came out and they beat Kane down and all that good stuff. This match has been considered an all-star Money in the Bank ladder match, but nobody knows who's going to jump in Kane's place here. So it's going to be hard to tell.
Yeah, and you never know what they're thinking, especially Vince. You know, Vince is crazier than an outhouse rat, so you never really know what Vince McMahon's thinking.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see. That does take place Sunday night, correct?
Sunday night, absolutely, on pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, WWE's big there's a World Heavyweight title contract match, and there's one for the WWE Championship as well.
Right. What that brings up a good question, because, you know, I think Dolph Ziggler held on to his Money in the Bank briefcase the longest of anybody since they've been doing Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that became part of his gimmick. That briefcase became part of his of who Dolph Ziggler was.
Well, that, and you got the crazy chick, AJ Lee, running around
with
him. So, boy, she is. You got to dig crazy chicks.
I got to stay away from them. I have kids with them. Hey, do you remember the point guard we were talking about the other day, Monte Ellis? Do you remember him?
Yes, Monte Ellis, yes.
All right, he has officially struck a deal with the Dallas Mavericks. And so Monte Ellis is headed down to Dallas. It's a three-year deal, depending on where Dallas ends up in terms of salary cap space, as it works on a number of deals. Monte Ellis' deal could rise to as high as $30 million. The deal at minimum will be in the $25 million range for 3 years.
Good, and that's definitely going to help out the Mavericks, because, you know, with the turnover they've been having down there, it's going to be exciting to see how they, because you know they made a hard push to get Dwight Howard, well, he ended up spurning them and going downstate to Houston, so.
Yeah.
Be anxious to see what the Dallas Mavericks come around with, you know, when the NBA season comes around. Now, did I hear you say that you guys are tentatively rescheduling your fishing trip? What's up with that? Because I know
you
got rained out.
Yeah, well, we didn't really get rained out. We were just we were out on the water, and there was a Lord, that's loud. There was lightning coming. You're killing me, Paul.
I may be running this show off my iPad, but I still got the sound effect, so leave me alone.
Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, we were out there, and we started seeing lightning. And I was kidding on my show. I said that the lightning looked like it was about 60 miles away. It wasn't. It was right over top of us. So Wild Bill heard the show today, and let me know that he would be calling in on Tuesday to dispute the lightning claims. And so we'll hear from Wild Bill Hiccup, and we'll see what's going on with him. So go ahead.
Oh, wow. I just happened to flip over onto the NBA headlines page. No more peace in L.A.
Yeah, I've heard that they've gotten rid of him. I don't know why. Amnesty.
Yeah. L.A. Lakers have waived Meta World Peace. Well, I think it came down to, you know, it's a Kobe thing once again, and they weren't willing to do anything to put Meta World Peace, what a name, and put him at peace, so the peace is going elsewhere. I also saw a thing where NBA great Scottie Pippen of the famed Chicago Bulls machine of the late 80s and 90s is being sued over a fight at an upscale Southern California restaurant where he left an autograph seeker hospitalized with a head injury. Okay, first off, I don't see Scottie Pippen doing that. Maybe I'm wrong. But Scottie Pippen has just never struck me as the kind of guy that would do something like that.
Yeah, he's usually a pretty laid-back dude. There must have been a situation involved. I don't know.
Yeah, $4 million lawsuit filed Thursday in Los Angeles Superior Court says 49-year-old Cameron Shafigi simply asked Pippen for a photograph for his girlfriend's 12-year-old son. Instead, the suit says brutal and unjustified physical attack that included a spit in the face, shove, and a punch that sent Sengifi to the ground. I'm smelling a rat there. Because that,
wow.
You know, I've met Pippen on a couple of occasions, and he just doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that does that. So
no.
We'll keep a track on that, and you know, just see where that goes. 60 days till the start of college football, boys and girls. So I mean, it's getting here.
Yeah, definitely. 50 days. We're almost there.
It is just around the corner. Penn State Board of Directors have authorized a settlement in the Jerry Sandusky case. I might have mentioned this yesterday. LSU player pleads guilty to misdemeanor battery. That is one Jeremy Hill. And he's been put on notice by Les Miles that he is one more mess up away from totally ruining his life. So be anxious to see what comes up out of that.
Right.
You got some NASCAR news that I want to pass along for all my NASCAR buddies out there. Looks like Ryan Newman is going to be out at Stewart Haas Racing, as they have signed Kevin Harvick for the 2014 season. Harvick is keeping his sponsor, Budweiser, the Great American Lager. I mean, that motto still doesn't catch with me. Ever since they were bought by that brewing company over in Denmark or wherever it was.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just not used to calling an American beer a lager.
I mean,
the Great American Lager. I just still don't. I still don't vibe with me. But anyway, he's leaving Childress Racing, taking his show to Stewart Haas Racing, where Budweiser will remain his sponsor. He will have he'll change numbers. Looks like his number is going to be number 4. And he is going to be over there with Danica Patrick and that crew over there at Stewart Haas Racing. And everybody knows my feelings towards Tony Haas. He's Tony Haas or Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart, he's one of them big crybabies. He gripes and complains about the way people race, but yet he's the first one to put you in a wall if it's going to benefit him. So,
yeah.
Anyway, be anxious to see how those two egos swap butt heads over there, Stewart Haas Racing. Let's see. kind of looking down the MMA boards. I don't have anything on my page. What do you got going on over there on your side of the wall?
Well, in talking about college football, did you read where this 12-year-old Ohio State Buckeyes fan was diagnosed with cancer 14 years ago, and he named his cancer
Michigan
because
yes,
he wanted to beat it? He is he was released from a hospital on Friday after receiving a final chemotherapy session. He had a bacterial infection, so he was readmitted to the hospital, but the prognosis is good. It shows that he has indeed beat Michigan.
Well, there you go.
So,
and, you know,
good deal for him.
You know, and that's good when a kid, when especially a kid his age, can take something as, you know, like that, be able to associate it something, and be able, now he can turn around and say, hey, you know, I beat Michigan, so. You know, we'll keep our thoughts and prayers for that kid. Hope everything continues to get better for him over there at that situation. I've pretty much gone down everything I have, Bubba. I don't know what else you have. I haven't looked at the pro wrestling stuff today, so.
Well, there's not a lot going on in the pro wrestling world, but Chael Sonnen verbally beat down heckling fan at a UFC fan expo. Did you see this?
Oh, that sounds. Why did that not surprise me?
There was a guy that was heckling Chael Sonnen, and he just went ballistic on the guy. So that was pretty crazy. The UFC 162 drug test results came out.
Oh,
all fighters tested clean.
Well, there you go.
So Josh Koscheck is injured and out of the UFC 163 fight. With Demian Maia, he was supposed to fight on the next card next month, UFC 163, and that is not going to go down. He's lost back-to-back fights, was looking to rebound against Maia on the August 3rd fight card. Maya's 18-4, and he's looking to take a winning streak to 4 wins since dropping down from the middleweight division. He's won 3 fights in a row in the welterweight against John Fitch, Dong Kim, and Rick Story. So that's a pretty good resume there.
Here's some I got some baseball news here for all you Pinstripe fans. Derek Jeter is injured, and according to reports, he's going to be out till after the All-Star break, and they haven't ruled out going on to putting him on the disabled list. So be anxious to see how that ends up. I saw a story, because as you know, we like to converse about the old pro wrestling stuff, and I can't remember this guy's name, but he has been doing some fantastic articles on pro wrestling, and there was one today. Did you happen to check that crazy shark movie on the Sci-Fi Channel last night?
I do not watch anything on the Sci-Fi Channel, nor do I watch anything like that.
Oh, man, this had to be. I mean, they've had some crazy stuff like Octo Shark, which was part shark, part octopus. They had another one that was Piranaconda, which was part anaconda, part piranha. It's like, I'm sitting here thinking, where do these guys at Sci-Fi come up with this stuff? So now the new one, what was the name of it?
I don't know.
Sharknado.
This is proven to me why I don't watch anything on the Sci-Fi Channel.
But it was called Sharknado. Apparently a tornado picked up a thing of somehow got some sharks in a tornado. Go figure. Here's the story I found. It's a guy named Patrick Michael, and I've been reading some of these articles, and there actually been some pretty good stuff. And so his article today, top 5 jobbers in pro wrestling history. And, you know, he basically talks about the staples of the old school professional wrestling was that on, you know, on Saturday night you'd have your big name stars taking on these guys that couldn't wrestle their way out of a wet paper bag, and they were called, and they were referred to as jobbers, which today are virtually extinct because to get the ratings and everything, you got to have guys like Randy Orton taking on The Miz, or et cetera, et cetera. So here is his top five. Here is his list of top five classic jobbers in professional wrestling. Number five, a guy named Frank Williams. Frank Williams got his claim to fame working with Roddy Piper. He actually got bopped in the head by Roddy Piper with something. Piper was notorious. I remember the time he bashed Jimmy Snuka with a coconut.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that one.
Now, I do remember that. I did not watch it live, but I've seen it several times.
Yeah. Here's a name that you're going to remember, and rest of the names are names we'll remember. The Mulkey Brothers, Bill and Randy Mulkey.
Huh.
Are rated number four all-time jobbers in professional wrestling.
Wow.
Number three, and I remember this guy because he always had the ring jacket with the big handprint on the back, Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz, yeah. He had a little bit of success, mainly a jobber there, but he had more problems when Vince McMahon bought the company from his dad, when he bought it from Vince Sr. People call him the second most prominent jobber in WWE history.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're saying is Barry Horowitz was seen on WWE programming more times than any of the top stars in the company during the 80s and the 90s. I mean, that's pretty big.
Well, yeah, I remember. I remember Barry Horowitz because, like I say, he always had that jacket and he was always patting himself on the back. That was kind of his gimmick, you know. But he was actually a well-trained wrestler. I mean, he had the skills, but,
yeah,
you know, you never saw him getting the big push. Here's a guy I remember. And I actually kind of liked this guy. Every time he was on, I actually was rooting for him to finally get that W, and that was a guy named Mike Jackson.
Mike Jackson.
Down in Mid-South, down in Georgia. They announced him at 202 pounds, but if he weighed 180, I'm the next president of the United States. I mean, let's be serious. But you know, I for some reason there was just always something about this guy that I remember, and he could match moves with just about any wrestler that they put him in the ring with. I mean, I saw him have some good matches with Magnum TA. You know, I remember a classic match I remember between him and Ronnie Garvin, but you know. Being his role, you know, Mike Jackson, I definitely remember that guy. Number one, and this guy has been called the greatest jobber in the history of pro wrestling, the Brooklyn Brawler.
Absolutely. Trained by Mr. Perfect.
Yep.
One of the best, yeah.
Yeah. And the reason he is referred, the reason he has been voted the greatest jobber in the history is because he got a stage name and he actually got a gimmick in the WWE.
Oh, he hooked up with Bobby the Brain Heenan. That was his big thing, is he hooked up with Heenan.
Oh, yeah. So here's some honorable mentions. And there's one name on here that I kind of got a question. Well, there's two names on here I have to put a question about because I actually went on to achieve some success. Some of the honorable mentions are the Los Conquistadors, Dwayne Gilbert.
Oh, you got to love Gilbert. Gilbert was, one of the best.
I remember I love watching the guys come out with the little fire, you know, because Goldberg, you know, he had all the big pyro and fireworks and stuff. But then when you had Gilbert, you know, you had two or three guys standing out there on the entranceway with the little 4th of July sparklers when he come out.
You know, Gilbert, a lot of people don't know this, but he won that light heavyweight championship and held that thing for 15 months and became the longest reigning light heavyweight champion in WWE history.
I remember that. Here's a guy I remember, Special Delivery Jones.
Special Delivery Jones. S.D. Jones. I remember that guy.
S.D. Jones. And now here's a guy on this list of honorable mentions, and like I say, due to the fact I remember him, he actually went on and he actually held some more tag team titles. Jim Powers.
Jim Powers, absolutely.
Powers and Glory, Power and Glory with Hercules, I believe it was, and there was one other tag team, and I can't remember who.
You know who brought Jim Powers into the WWE, don't you?
No, sir, I don't.
Big John Studd.
Really?
Yes. Big John Studd brought him in.
Okay. Cool. I was not aware of that because everybody knew who Big John Studd was. And I mean, wow, I did not realize. Here's another name. And once again, this is one of those guys that you really just got to laugh at every time you see him. Shark Boy.
Oh, no. Shark Boy's one of my favorites.
Can't you?
Give me a shell, yeah.
Give me a shell, yeah. Shark 316.
Popping cans of, opening cans of clam juice and drinking them in the ring. Yeah, you bet. Shark Boy. You know, there's two gimmicks that I love the most in TNA. There's not a lot of Impact Wrestling stuff that I like. I mean, I love the Cowboy James Storm, one of my favorites of all time. I love the gimmick. The Beer Money tag team, that whole thing was golden. They need to reunite those guys at some point. But Shark Boy and Curry Man are two of my favorites.
Curry Man, also known as... Yes.
Daniels.
Well, Daniels. Well, and then there was Suicide.
That was terrible. That was a horrible angle. They did that for the video game, and then it completely fizzled out.
Yeah, they did it for the video game, and then they brought him in, and now they've renamed him Manic. So there you go. And now here's another honorable mention, and I remember him because he got to hang out with the sensational Sherry Martel, Playboy Buddy Rose.
Buddy Rose, probably one of the worst of all time. I can't stand that guy.
Because I remember the tag team, Playboy Buddy Rose and Doug Summers.
Yeah.
Back in the old AWA, and they had Sherry Martel as their manager. And I believe, if I remember correct, at one time they were the AWA World Tag Team Champions. I would have to dig into the archives. But, you know, you can catch just Patrick Michael on Yahoo Sports. And, I mean, he's been doing some good articles, you know, everything from, like, top WrestleMania venues and what made particular venues memorable for WrestleMania. Like, here's one I'm going to explore this story for next week. Top WWE wrestlers, top five who would like to forget 2012.
Oh, John Cena would love to forget 2012. He did terrible.
Yeah. So we're waiting for my boy Dean Vaughn. He's supposed to be calling in today. I was able to get a hold of Mighty Mouse. And, you know, Dean's going to be giving us a call in, giving us an update on his ankle. Apparently he got some news about his ankle, and he's excited to be passing that knowledge on to his fans. So, once again, we are waiting for Dean Mighty Mouse Vaughn to be calling in. I'm going to try to send him a text message right now.
Hey, while we're talking about the greatest jobbers of all time, here's a name that you may remember, you may not remember, Paul Roma.
Paul Roma, yes.
One half of Power and Glory. He has gone down in history as the worst horseman of all time.
Oh, yeah.
What an honor. A lot of people don't even know he was a horseman, but he's gone down as the worst. I think Lex Luger personally was the worst horseman ever. I don't know.
Well, I think Sting. Because they did that brief little gimmick where Sting was a horseman, and I think that lasted all of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of Rick and Arn, and especially after Arn and Tully came back from their stint with WWE, the Horsemen just pretty much became a revolving door.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a lot of Horsemen.
Yeah, because, you know, the original Horsemen will always be Rick, Arn, Ole, Tully. And then you had Rick, Arn, Tully, Barry Windham, Rick, Arn, Tully, Lex Luger. And then it just started kind of getting silly from there. You know, you had Paul Roma in there for a while.
Benoit and Malenko, that was terrible.
Yeah, Benoit, Malenko, and Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yeah. Mongo.
Wow.
What a terrible reference.
Candygram for Mongo. best Western movie ever made right there, Blazing Saddles.
Wow.
Hey, that's my
opinion. I do have some more names here. All of the horsemen ever. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, Lex Luger, Barry Windham, Sting, Sid Vicious, Paul Roma, Flying Brian Pillman, Chris Benoit, Steve McMichael, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Hennig, Dean Malenko, Kendall Windham, Butch Reed, and David Flair. Butch Reed was supposed to be in Pine Bluff, Arkansas at a TCW event, but he was in jail and couldn't make it. And so I ran around with signs. I think Mr. Saturday Night, Michael Berry, had made some wanted posters or something with Butch Reed's face on it. So I kept running around with this asking, have you seen this man? I mean, I would just go up to random fans that didn't even know who I was, and I would just holler at them, have you seen this man? And it was Butch Reed.
You know what would have been classic?
What's that?
If you'd have had some milk cartons.
Well, he's not lost.
Oh, he was just, okay. All right, I see where you're
Yeah,
going.
We knew he was in jail. That's the night we met man, why is his name? Jerry Lynn. That's the night we met Jerry Lynn.
Mr. JL, yes.
Yep. Met him, and he was in a lot of pain, but he went in there and wrestled. He did a great job, and that was right before he decided to retire.
Right. So, Money in the Bank is Sunday. What do you think about RVD? Return to WWE.
I don't think they're going to let him win this, but he's got a great shot at it. I think if he, I don't know. I just don't see him winning, coming back like this. But, you know, other people do. A lot of people think that the reason why he's coming back just for this, you know, I mean, why make such a big deal about it, and why make him wait until Money in the Bank if he's not going to win it. You know, there's just a lot of stuff. You know, there's a lot of matches going down. Ryback and Jericho. I mean, you know, Jericho's been the biggest jobber in the WWE since since he came back. And so, you know, I think he's letting guys have a chance. You know, like losing to Fandango at WrestleMania, but ridiculous. You know, AJ Lee and Caitlin, I think they're going to keep the title on AJ because she's got the most heat right now with the fans, and that's controversy creates cash. So, just like Bischoff's book said, and so I think that's how that's going to go down. Curtis, I was about to say Axel Rotten. Curtis Axel and the Miz.
Curtis
Axel,
there's a name
and the Miz. Yeah, Axel Rotten. I don't even know where. I'm gonna Google him here in a minute and see where I can see if I can come up with something.
Wasn't there like two of them? Axel Rotten and another Rotten, Ian Rotten.
Axel Rose.
Man, have you seen him lately?
Oh yeah, he looks terrible.
Speaking of guys invading the donut shop, man, I saw a picture of Axel Rose the other day. He had more chins than a Chinese phone book.
Yeah, right.
I couldn't believe it.
On July 29th, 2010, Axel Rotten participated in TNA's ECW reunion show at Hardcore Justice. At the event, Rotten and Balls Mahoney, billed as the Cajones, were defeated by Team 3D in a South Philadelphia street fight. After the match, Mahoney vented his frustrations on Rotten, proclaiming he would never team with him again. However, in October of 2010, Rotten and Mahoney reunited at Jersey All-Pro Wrestling, where they unsuccessfully challenged JAPW Tag Team Champions, the Heavy Hitters, Monster Mac, and Havoc, in a three-way dance also involving Sammy Callahan and Chris Dickinson. That's the last thing he's done.
All right, here's a tag team that I hadn't heard from in a long time, and I'm just wondering if Public Enemy, we've talked about them briefly just the other day. Are any of them still alive?
I believe
one of them is passed away.
Yeah. I'm about to Google them, too.
Yeah, Google them boys. Because they were actually one of my favorite. One of my favorite tag team matches was Public Enemy.
Let's see. Johnny Grunge passed away in 2006, and Rocco Rock passed away in 2002. So they are both.
They both are in the wrestling ring up in the sky.
Yeah, the great ring in the sky.
Cool.
Professional life and death. Let's see. Johnny Grunge was referenced in a Weezer song, El Scorcho. The line, "Watching Grunge leg drop New Jack through a press table," was derived from a caption of a photograph of Grunge fighting wrestler New Jack that was published in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Grunge was actually a neighbor of Chris Benoit, and it's said that he regularly helped Benoit cope with Eddie Guerrero's death in November 2005. He was preparing for a comeback in 2006. Jason Ray, a wrestler for Big Japan Wrestling and Grunge's cousin, had helped book him for the upcoming spring 2006 BJW tour. However, Grunge died at age 39 on February 16, 2006, in his residence in Peachtree City, Georgia, as a result of sleep apnea complications. So Johnny Grunge passed away from sleep apnea complications. I wonder what happened to Rocco Rock. I'm going to look at him real quick and see if I can find something on him.
I think he's had a heart attack, if I remember correct.
Well, let's see if we can find something.
I could be wrong.
Not really seeing anything. Yeah, his real name was Ted Petty. And Petty was competing as a singles wrestler in the Independents when he died of a heart attack on September 21st, 2002. He was 49 years old, so he right now would be, he'd be almost 60. September 1st, he'd be 60 years old.
Hey, he qualified to wrestle Ric Flair.
Yeah, right.
Wow, this just came over my news wire. The wonderful state of Arkansas. Arkansas Lottery Commission former secretary stole $478,000 in tickets.
What?
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, that just came over my little my little news ticker that I have here.
Yeah. Hey, I got a wrestling joke for you.
Uh-oh.
An old man told me this a long time ago. There's these three guys. They were best friends their whole life. And so they're old, and they make a promise to each other that whoever died first would come back and let the other two know if there was wrestling in heaven. So, you know, these guys are all kind of sitting around one day, and one of them passes away. So they have his funeral, and they're sitting in church, and these guys are sitting next to each other for the funeral, and all of a sudden their buddy appears to him, and he looked like he did when he was younger, and he goes, "All right, guys, I got good news and I got bad news." And they said, "What's the news?" And he said, "Well, the good news..." What is that? Just killed my joke.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He said, he goes, "I got good news and I got bad news." And they asked their friend that died. They said, "Well, what's the good news?" He said, "The good news is there's wrestling in heaven." And he said, "What's the bad news?" And he looked at him and he said, "You guys are in a tag team match on Sunday."
Ooh. Wow. Wow.
That's a check out. Oh,
wow.
Man. I'm getting blown up over here. I don't know if you can hear this or not, but
I put a status up about
George Zimmerman, not guilty or guilty. What do you think? And, man, people are getting after it on Facebook. It's blowing up here. So I like the interaction. I personally think this case is just a gigantic load of garbage, and I just can't wait till it's over. But even after it's over, I'm sure we're going to have to hear about it, just like we did OJ for years and years and still do. And, you know.
Yeah, it's about time to get that trial over with.
It is in the hands of the jury right now. Six-woman jury is deciding George Zimmerman's fate.
Yeah. Like I say, I don't know how that thing's going to turn out, but, you know. It gives them exciting news for a little while, so there you go.
Apparently, there's guilty of second-degree murder, guilty of manslaughter, or not guilty at all. So there's three options here.
Yeah, three out of the... Be anxious to see. Looking at some... talking about some NCAA college football... good article about my beloved Arkansas Razorbacks. I know you don't care for the Hogs, but you know, we're Hogs are an acquired taste. Razorback Nation has to feel good about the start of its 2015 recruiting class, as Zach Rogers, Ty Story weren't exactly unknowns coming out of a recent Under Armour class, but apparently they are very high. Well, matter of fact, both of them have committed to Arkansas. So let's see if I can find some information on them here. Mr. Zach Rogers, he's a 6'3", 274-pound offensive guard out of Lewisville, Texas. That's a big boy. And, yes, he has committed to Arkansas. He ranks in the top five. He's currently in the top five offensive guards in the United States.
Yeah.
And so then we go over here and we check out Ty Story, who is a quarterback. He's coming out of Charleston, of all places.
Huh.
6'3", 217. He has a 4.92 in the 40, or 4.58 in the shuttle, 25-inch vertical. And so he ranked, and once again, he's in top in the United States. He's in the top 25 of quarterbacks in the United States, and he has committed to Arkansas. Charleston,
wow.
that part of the state has turned into a little pipeline for quarterbacks.
Well, the problem with Arkansas's recruiting is they need to stop recruiting in Arkansas. They need to go out and get some real live quarterbacks. They're always like, oh, we got this guy from Fort Smith. We got this guy from Greenwood. We got this guy from Jonesboro. Man, none of them do anything. They're terrible. I mean, look at these guys that go out and win national championships and win Heismans and stuff like that. I mean, geez, man. I mean, you got to go somewhere. You have to go somewhere.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I agree. But Arkansas has always been, and I don't know why they make such a big deal of it, but Arkansas has always been big on keeping their guys in state. You know, I don't know why
they may do that, but you got to draw a line somewhere. If your guys in state aren't winning Heismans, they aren't winning national championships, they're not even winning conference championships, they're not even winning their division in the conference, the East and West, they're not even winning the West. So you got to draw a line and say, okay, maybe this ain't working. We would love to keep these guys in Arkansas. That's perfect. But loyalty doesn't win national championships. You know what I mean? You got to go out and recruit these guys. You got to go get guys from Texas. You got to get guys from Louisiana, but Texas and Oklahoma have the Texas market locked up. LSU obviously has the Louisiana market locked up. But you know, these guys, they go out and these recruiters, they go out and they find these guys. These coaches go to different states and they find the best ball players the country has to offer. I mean, there's a ton of people from California who play for Oklahoma, you know, and we go out and we find guys like that. But then, you look at some of the talent, or I can't even say talent, really. You look at some of the people Arkansas brings in, it's just like, man, go out of state and find somebody. That's wonderful that you want to keep everybody from Arkansas on your team. That's great. That's good loyalty. We appreciate that. But it doesn't make a whole lot of football sense here. So I don't know, man. I would say until they can win a national championship or a Heisman with these hometown boys, I don't give their recruiting any credit whatsoever. I think their recruiting is garbage. And that's not just because I don't like them. That's any school that does that.
Well, brother, we got just a few minutes left. We're going to do the short show for Friday.
That's cool.
And we're going to end it up with, well, that's the one I did the other day. No, we're not.
Did you hear from Dean? Did you hear back from Dean?
I never heard back from Dean. That kind of upsets me because he made it a point this morning to send me a text message to make sure we had the phone number. Let me run over and check the switchboard. No, he's not in the hold queue or anything. Well, he said there might be a possibility. So, you know, if anything, we'll get Dean on the show next week. Now, you are hosting the show Tuesday.
I will be here.
You lucky rascal, you. I will be on the road at that time, making my way to Phoenix.
Yeah.
So you'll be hosting the show Tuesday, and then we'll be back with everybody the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We will be there. And I'm tentatively contemplating if I want to do a special Saturday edition right before the Hall of Fame ceremony.
I would. This is once in a lifetime, man. I would absolutely do it.
Well, you know, I'll have everything there with me, so I will. It'll pretty much depend on time frames and everything, just how busy they have me once I get out there. So, but we will definitely, you know, like I say, Tuesday is your baby, so I'm putting my girl into your hands.
Well, wait a minute, treat her like a lady.
Treat her like a lady. Give me some Barry White. Come on.
A little Barry White.
Yeah, you were doing it on your show earlier. Come on,
got to do it the right way. A little Barry White. I sound like the Oom Papa Mau Mau guy
from the Oak Ridge Boys.
From the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oom Papa Mau Mau.
What is that guy's name? I don't even know his name.
Oh, Richard Sturban.
Richard Sturban, yeah. He's got quite an impressive resume, too. He wasn't an original member of the Oak Ridge Boys.
He wasn't an original, and at one time he sang back up for Elvi.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how old that guy really is at one point he actually sang back up for Elvis Presley.
He is actually, he's been with him since 1972. He is 70 years old. He was born in 1943, April 24th, 1943, in Camden, New Jersey. So he's a Northerner. He's a Yankee. And,
he
has been with, he's actually sang with Johnny Cash, the Stamps Quartet, J.D. Sumner, Elvis Presley, and the Oak Ridge Boys.
And Oak Ridge Boys, where he's gained his biggest success, you know, Bobby Sue, Robert, what's some of the other songs?
Elvira.
Elvira, Thank God for Kids, back when we, I mean, great singer. I mean, funny guy, too. I mean, well, man, we're going to cut it. We're going to cut it off. We're going to get it out of here. We want to apologize to Matt Damon, not able to get him on the show today.
Oh gosh,
Steven Seagal.
Yeah, we weren't able to get Steven Seagal on the show either. So
my apologies to Steven Seagal. We'll get you next week, Steve.
Yeah, we'll get him next week. And man, my brother, I will talk to you Monday. And you have a great weekend. Stay safe out there on the mighty Arkansas River. Stay away from the garfish.
Yes, golly. You keep keep taking care of Mama Squirrel and let me know how she's doing.
We got Mama Squirrel right here. We are looking at her. We got her some crackers to munch on, so she's kind of in that happy zone right now. So
yeah.
But we will get out of here, and we will see you Monday. Everybody have a safe weekend. Don't forget to join us Monday through Friday, 4 p.m., till whenever they decide to run us off the air. blogtalkradio.com/TheGregSquirrelShow. So we are going to get out of town. My brother, you have a good weekend, and we will talk to everybody. Song. I started playing the dog theme again.
Yeah, I noticed.
I love it. Definitely of iPads.
Peace out.
Peace out. And we will talk to you Monday right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Clint, be safe, my man.
All right, buddy. Peace out.